Okay. Okay, Rabbosai. Here's where we're going to start. The word Hayom has special meaning both in Parshas Nitzavim, where it says Atem Nitzavim Hayom, and this is based on a pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk in Iyov says Vayehi Hayom, it's the very beginning of Iyov, Vayavo Bnei Halokim, this is a reference to the Malachi Asharis, L'siyatzev Al Hashem, up in the divine court, Vayavo Gam HaSatan B'tochan, and the Satan comes together, appearing as it were at this conference up in Shamayim, and the Satan is coming to prosecute against Iyov. This is at the very beginning of Sefer Iyov. Now the key word for our purpose is Hayom. Vayehi Hayom. Rashi, based on the Zohar, says Oso Yom Hoya Rosh Hashanah. So that day, which is called Hayom, if it would have said Yom, Yom means any day of the year, but Hayom with the Hei Yediyah, that specifically refers to Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, as we know, is the day of judgment. In the case of Iyov, the day of judgment brought about this entire conference in which the Satan came to be Makatrik. So too, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, the word Hayom again, refers to Rosh Hashanah, and that's the day in which all of Klal Yisrael stood in judgment. We'll see also a Pasuk Hayom in reference to Elisha Navi in Malachim Beis, and there it says that the Shunamis invited Elisha to eat when he passed through Shunam. She was Mekayim, the great mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim. And there too it says, Vayehi Hayom. And if you take a look in Paras Yosef, in Nitzavim, he says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. That according to the Zohar, whenever you see the word Hayom, you can identify that that day is the day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the day on which whatever occurred, occurred. Again, we don't know exactly why Elisha had to pass through Shunam on Rosh Hashanah. That's not really our subject for today. It's a good question. But we're just using that as another example where Chazal identified the Hayom as that specific day of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Kuf Yud Tes, which goes through all the letters of the alphabet there, when it gets to the Lamed, it says, Lim Mishpatecha Omdu Hayom. On this day, Hayom, they stood for judgment. Ki Hakol Avadecha. Because we were all the servants of Hashem, and one day of the year God judges us to see if our service has been up to par. And that's Lim Mishpatecha Omdu Hayom. Hayom referring to Rosh Hashanah. The one who points this out is Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the great Rav of Yerushalayim, who says that if you take a look at the numerical value of this pasuk in Tehillim, L'mishpatecha omdu hayom ki hakol avadecha, it has the same exact gematria as Rosh Hashanah. I didn't work it out, so I'm going to just rely on Rav Sonnenfeld. Now, Rosh Hashanah, Hayom, is also the day of creation of man. And that's why in the davening we say, after the Tekiyos, Hayom Haras Olam, today, this day, is the day of the creation of the world. Hayom Ya'amid B'mishpat Kol Yitzurei Olam. And today is also the day in which all of God's creations stand in judgment, b'mishpat. So let's just very quickly identify what happens on Rosh Hashanah. We have, number one, the judgment of Iyov takes place on Rosh Hashanah, and that's called Vayihi Hayom. We have Parshas Nitzavim that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, Tem Nitzavim Hayom. We have Elisha meeting the Shunamis, Vayihi Hayom. And now we have Hayom Haras Olam, that this is the day of the creation of man. And on that day, God judges man. Now, one of the more Kabbalistic Sfarim says that on Rosh Hashanah we should not eat anavim, we should not eat grapes. I don't know if any of you have such a minhag, not to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. I don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah, but what about grapes? So what's the problem with grapes? So according to one opinion in Chazal, there are many, many different opinions about what fruit was eaten by Adam HaRishon and Chava in violation of in rebellion against the Torah, against the mandate of God. One opinion has it that these were anavim, and it's based on a pasuk, anvino anve rosh. So if Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, he was given on that very day of his creation one mitzvah, one command, and that was the command of not eating from the Eitz Hadas. And if we identify that day as Rosh Hashanah, and why do we identify that day as Rosh Hashanah? Because Rosh Hashanah is Hayom Haras Olam, the day in which man was created. On that very day, in violation of God's mandate, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, assuming it was a Geffen, it was Anavim. Therefore, we don't eat Anavim on the day of Rosh Hashanah, because on this day of Rosh Hashanah, we want to be metaken the chet of Adam HaRishon. We don't, chas v'shalom, want to mention or remember the chet of Adam HaRishon. And if the chet was performed on Anavim, therefore we have to avoid eating grapes. So that's the source for this Maisa Rav, that the God did not eat Anavim on Rosh Hashanah. So all this takes us back to the beginning that we started with, and that is that Rosh Hashanah is not only the day of the creation of man, it's also the day of man's sin, because on man's, the very day of his creation, he got one mitzvah, he violated that one mitzvah, and that's going to be the day of judgment. And we could go on and say that the day of judgment coincides with the sin of Adam HaRishon, because man is given on an annual basis the opportunity to be metaken the chet of Adam HaRishon. And on Rosh Hashanah, the day in which Adam HaRishon sinned, man has to stand in judgment, and God decides where he's holding. Did man violate? Did he violate just like Adam HaRishon the sin, or on the contrary, did he rectify the sin? And we as descendants of Adam HaRishon have to stand in judgment and are taken to task on every Rosh Hashanah to see whether or not the creation of man was a worthy enterprise. As you know, the Midrashim say that the Malachi Ashareis, not all of them, but many of them, were opposed to God's decision, all of the Machshava, when God had the idea of creating man, Nasa Adam. He turns to the Malachim, and those Malachim who represented Emes and Shalom were opposed to the creation of man. Man is full of Sheker, he's a Domashkarim, man is full of Ketata, he undermines Shalom. But at the end of the day, because of man's Midah Chesed and Staka, God decided to create man. But this decision has to be, in a sense, justified, in quotation marks, on an annual basis, because annually there's a recreation of man on Rosh Hashanah, the sixth day of Maisa Bereishis, and God has to decide. Well, it all depends. Where is man holding? So man as a whole, the entire universe, is going to be judged. The Mishnah says, Kol Baye Olam Ovrim Lefanav Kibnei Maron. And Hashem decides whether or not, let's go for another year. And that's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, to see if tragically we are guilty of the sins of Adam HaRishon, or perhaps we can be awakened by the shofar, Uru Yishenu Mishnaschem, to do tshuva, and therefore the world deserves to go through another year. So again, it's very important that we understand the overlap between Rosh Hashanah, between the two dimensions of Rosh Hashanah. Number one, the dimension of Rosh Hashanah is being the day of the creation of man. On that day, man sinned. God gave man an opportunity to do tshuva, and God and man responded to the voice of Hashem, the call of Hashem, and he did tshuva. Again, the tshuva of Adam HaRishon was, shall we say, not, although we mentioned it today in the Slichos, but it's not the paradigmic tshuva, it's a knapper tshuva, but it's enough to stave off Misa, because after all, the original gzera was V'yom Acholcha Mos Yumas, and that was staved off. So the day of God's creation, of the creation of man, is also the day of sin, but also the day of tshuva. And therefore, every year we have to experience this din. That's the second dimension of Rosh Hashanah. It's not only the day of creation, but it's also the day of din. And that's the word Hayom l'mishpatecha omdu Hayom. Hayom means on Rosh Hashanah. And that's what we say, Hayom haras olam. Man was created, meaning Adam HaRishon was created on this day. Hayom yamid v'mishpat kol yitzurei olamim. We all have to stand in judgment. And God, what's on the balance, what's now being decided, is whether God wants to again reestablish Chidush Olam, creating the world. And that's going to be determined by man, whether man on this day of Rosh Hashanah, when he stands in judgment, will he respond the way Adam HaRishon responded and dedicate himself to rectifying the situation of Adam, of the chet of Adam HaRishon? Is he dedicated, instead of Chas V'Shalom, to rebel against God, to observe and fulfill the will of God? And that process means that we have to avoid anavim, grapes, if we assume that grapes were the fruit that Adam HaRishon ate from, because the tikkun of that original chet is critical on Rosh Hashanah, because that'll decide whether or not the universe will be projected for another year. Now, I want to apologize. I have a little bit of a technical problem, so we'll have to figure out how to solve this problem. So for the meantime, hold on to your questions, because I won't be able to hear them anyway. But as long as you're able to hear me, so if everybody can hear me, just... Okay, great. Now, if you have the pages, then we're looking at the Yeshua's Malka, which is on the left column. And he speaks about a Medrash which describes the judgment of Adam HaRishon on the very day of his creation. And when Adam HaRishon does tshuva, according to the Medrash, Hashem declares, Atah and your tshuva, Hashem says to Adam HaRishon, Simon Lebanecha. It's almost like the principle of Maisa Ava Simon Lebanim, which applies for Adam, for Avram Avinu, for us, for the Bnei Avram, the Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'chazar. But as far as mankind in general, there's another type of Maisa Ava Simon Lebanim. And here the Av, of course, of all of mankind is Adam HaRishon. And Hashem says, you did tshuva, and therefore you, Yotze B'dimus, you came out vindicated from your judgment, is Simon Lebanecha, and that's a Simon for your children, that they too, if they sin, your descendants will be judged, and they'll do tshuva, and they will be judged favorably and vindicated. Comes along the Yeshua's Malko, and he says that, why is it that in order to awaken man to do tshuva, Hashem emphasizes the kol, because the pasuk says with regard to the tshuva of Adam Arishon, it says Vayishma Eskol Hashem Elokim Holeh Bagan. In the Gan Eden he hears Adam Arishon and Chava, they hear the call. The symbolism of the call, which is the call of Hashem Elokim, that's meant to waken up man to do tshuva, is symbolic and foretells for all of Rosh Hashanahs, for all of the day of creation of man annually, for all of posterity. The Kol Hashem is now the Kol Shofar. And he writes, Lazehi mitzvah tkiya shofar Rosh Hashanah ki pagam b'shmiya. In other words, the shmiya of the Kol Shofar is meant to rectify the shmiya which was paguma, and that was the criminal shmiya of Adam Arishon. Where do we see that Adam Arishon was guilty of the crime of shmiya, being pogam b'shmiya? The pasuk says, "Ki shamata l'kol ishtecha." So the tikkun of kol ishtecha, listening to the call of your wife when she tells her husband to eat from the Eitz Hadas, is the Shmias Kol Shofar. So again, since the original experience of man on the day of his creation, meaning the sin, because he was Pogan Shmia, and the Tikkun through the Kol Hashem, that he listens to the Kol Hashem, and he does Tshuva, all that is going to happen, Simon Labanim, on an annual basis, when we're taken to task, and we are placed in front of the Kisei HaKavod for the din, and we have a problem because we were Pogan Shmiya, because we heard the voice of Hashem and the command of God, and we were Pogam in that Shmiya. Now we have to hear the Kol Hashem through the Shofar, and if we respond in tune in the proper way to the Kol Shofar, that's going to be a tikkun for that Shmiya Paguma. So again, what happens is Maisa Ava Sima Labanim kind of thing. Atah Sima Labanecha. What happened on the day of creation with man being pogame and man's sin eating from the Eitz Hadas, and now man has to do a tikkun in order to be Yotzei L'dimus, in order to be vindicated from that din. All this happens annually because that's the way we understand Zman. That Zman is something like a spiral that repeats itself. So every year on Rosh Hashanah, we go through this experience in which we're taken to task in Din, Yamod L'Mishpat, for our Pagima in the Shmiya of Kol Hashem. And now we go through a Shmiya in which we hear the Kol Hashem in the Shofar, and that's supposed to Uru Yishenu Mishnastem, awaken us to do tshuva. And if we allow the Kol Shofar to penetrate into our hearts and our souls, then we Yotze B'dimus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves, what's a better word than moves, he makes the transition, we'll say it, he transits, I don't know if there's such a word, from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Arachamim, because we listen to the Shofar, and our response to the Shofar is Uru Yishenu Mishnaschem. It's meant to awaken us to do tshuva, to rectify our sins, to dedicate ourselves to the Ratzon Hashem. That's the penetrating sound of the Shofar as it impacts on our soul. Now, the Shalah is bothered by the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayetzav Hashem Elokim al ha'odom lemar mikol eitz hagan ochol tochel. And he says that whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words are superfluous. Cross out those 5 words for a moment. Bracket them. Start from Pasuk Yud Zayin. May Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra Lo Sochel Mimenu. And then the Pasuk should say, Umishar Eitz HaSodeh, or Atze Agan, Yochal. Meaning, let me just read to you the language of the Shalah. He writes, "Lefuria tokoshet lo havi le lememar." He could have gotten away with saying "Eitz Hadas, Eitz Hadas lo sochal, umishar Eitz Hagan yochal," but eat from all the other Eitzim. why does the pasuk go out of its way to say, "Mikol eitz hagan ochel se'ochel"? It could have said, "May eitz hadas lo sochal." Why does he have to say, "Mishar eitz hagan ochel sochal"? Again, we can spend a lot of time on this diuk, but what I wanted to get to is the bottom line. What do we derive from this diuk? Says the Shallah, the Torah wants to formulate a negative and a positive. The remez here is about achila in general, that there are two categories of achila. There's the achila that's prohibited, and then the Torah wants to say, "Mikol eitz hagan ochel tochal," that you can have an achila, which is a mitzvah. And not only that, the Torah says, lo sochal. So what we have is achal sochel and lo sochal. The bottom line, according to the Shallah, is lefa'amim achili mitzvah, lefa'amim minias achila mitzvah. That the Torah is telling you that sometimes eating is a mitzvah and sometimes abstaining from achila is also a mitzvah. That's called tainus. Ushteim olim b'kana echad. So these are two sides of one coin. Meaning achila, if it's done properly, could be a positive achila or it could be the abstention from achila. And that's a tainus. And all this, says the Shallah, is hinted at in the parasha of Eitz Hadas and these extra words in the pasuk. But now we get to the main point of today's discussion. Man eats from the Eitz Hadas, and according to a sefer called Tosefes Chaim, which you'll see quoted here in Shvilei Pinchas, number 14, Adam HaRishon Vecheto. Okay, now, just by way of introduction, the OCLs of the Torah, right, Chazal say the Yasar Mamoros Nivru Olam, those Mamoros are written in letters which form words, which form sentences. Those letters embody Elokus, some sort of divine power. And when Hashem expresses, He utters these letters and these words, that divine power generates the universe. When I say the universe, I mean all of reality, because it could also be the celestial spheres and the spiritual beings of Malach. Everything is generated by these Asar Mamoros. So when we look at the letters, each letter has a certain personality to it. It represents a certain identity of Kedusha. And Adam HaRishon, through his chet, was pogam in the very Kedushas Hashem. Now there are two Shemos. There's Yudke Vavke and there's Elokim. And in each case, in each name, Adam HaRishon was Pogam. So what was he Pogam? So we'll start with Yudke Vavke. And in the case of Yudke Vavke, he was Pogam in the Vav and the He. So what's left with is Yud and He. This is a Gemara with referring to Amalek, that the name of God is not complete after Amalek, or with the continued existence of Amalek. All we have is Yud K. That's half of Hashem's name. So again, the important thing that we have to take out of this is that the Pagima of Adam HaRishon was in the letters Vav He. That's as far as the Shem Havai is concerned. Now we talk about the Shem Elokim. And here, the Pagima was in the Yud and the Mem at the end of the name Elokim. So what we're left with is Aleph Lamed He. And as we go along, we're going to see the significance of the Aleph Lamed He that's left from Elohim, that's not contaminated by Adam. Again, all this has to do not with the Olamos, not with the essence of God, Chas v'Shalom, but rather with the way the names of Hashem personify existence on this world, on the arts. So if you turn now to the next page, the Shvilei Pinchas points out, that's Rav Pinchas Friedman, that if you take the two letters of Yud-K, Vav-K, the letters Vav and K, that Vav and He, that Adam Rish was Pogim in, and put it together with the other two letters of Yud-Mem, of the name Elohim, take those Vav, He, Yud-Mem, right? Vav, He, Yud-Mem, and Vav, He, Yud-Mem, if you scramble it around, forms the name Hayom. That's pretty clear. So you'll see this on the top right of page 2, that you have the Vav and the He, and you have the Yud and the Mem, all together forming Hayom. Okay. Now, the Pasuk says, Ki lishuascha kivisi kol hayom. Now the deeper meaning of this supplication is that the Yeshua, the ultimate redemption, which we're waiting for, which we're longing for, has something to do with hayom. And hayom, first and foremost, is a combination of the Vav He and the Yud Mem, which was Nifkema, which were in some sense soiled or contaminated by man's sin. So we're waiting for the restoration of these four letters that form the word Hayom. And in fact, since Adam HaRishon, there was one day in history where the Hayom as an entity revealed itself. And that was the day of Chanukas HaMishkan. Because the Pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Tes Pasuk Dalet, Ki Hayom Hashem Nira Aleichem. So the Hashem Nira Aleichem, which means God's revelation, came to fruition on that day of Chanukas HaMishkan. And that's called Hayom. So that has the, shall I say, the entity or the Bechino, we would say, of Adam HaRishon Kodem Lachet. So Hayom represents Adam HaRishon Kodem Lachet. We'll see how this ties into Hayom of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah has the power within it of bringing out the Mashiach, bringing about the Yeshua. And that's the Hayom which reflects the essence of Rosh Hashanah. But this all goes a lot deeper, because let's go back to the call that Adam HaRishon hears, the call Hashem Elokim that he hears in the aftermath of his sin. Vayishmu, this is Bereishis Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches, Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalech bagan l'ruach hayom. Again, the word hayom, which again refers to Rosh Hashanah, but in this context it also refers to the pegima, to that which he was pogim in the vav, hey, and the yud, mem of hayom. So the Kol Hashem appears, or I shouldn't say appears, I guess, manifests itself, L'ruach. L'ruach means as a result of Hayom, as a result of what Adam HaRishon did to create a deficiency in Hayom. Now all this is meant to lead up to
a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi met up with Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked him, Masai Ka'asi Ma, meaning when is the Mashiach going to appear? And the response that he got was Hayom. So he waited the whole day and Mashiach didn't come. And he had a taina, the Gemara says, in Perek HaChelek. You told me that he's coming Hayom. I don't see that he came Hayom. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Eliyahu HaNavi, in response to this attack, if you will, to this argument, he says that the Hayom was the pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk says, Ki hu elokeinu v'anachnu am mariso v'tzon yado hayom im b'kolo tishmo. The im is a t'nai. So the hayom that Mashiach is going to come on is only if b'kolo tishmo. Which is very interesting, that the word hayom, which is meant to be the tikkun, the ultimate rectification of the chet of Adam HaRishon, combining as it were, or restoring as it were, the hey and the vav with the yud and the mem, that's the hayom in b'kolo tishmo. That's the restoration of Hashem's name. That's going to be the removal of the pagam in these four letters that was caused by Yom HaRishon's sin. So the ultimate rectification to bring about kodem achev of the chet of Adam HaRishon is in the word hayom, and that's the day in which Mashiach is going to come. But it's all conditional on Hayom im b'kolo tishmo. And that call is the call Hashem Elokim mishalik b'gan. That was the call that cried out to Adam HaRishon, to awaken Adam HaRishon, because the Hayom was completely destroyed. L'ruach Hayom, as a result of the Hayom. And you'll see this in number 18 on your page in the Shvilei Pinchas. He quotes the Sakil, the Rav HaKadosh Miskilia, I'm not sure how to pronounce that word, Miskilia, who says the following, that when it says in the Potz Vayishma Eskol Hashem Elokim Mishalech Bagon L'ruach Elokim, L'ruach Hayom, excuse me. It says, V'yischavei ha'odom v'ishto, as a result of hearing this Kol Hashem, which was generated by the Hayom, meaning was generated by the Pagam in Hayom, so Adam HaRishon hides, it says, Vayischabe Adam v'ishto mipnei Hashem Elokim. That's called the Midah Busha. And he says the following, Shomu is called Hashem Elokim. The Pasuk has both names of God, the Hashem Elokim. Why did they hear the call of Hashem Elokim? Because both the name Hashem of Yudke Vavke and the name Elohim would figuratively cry out because of the Pagam. There was a Pagam in the Havaya, and that was the Pagam of the Vavke, and then there was the Pagam in Elohim of the Yud Mem at the end of Elohim, and that's the Ruach Hayom. So because of the letters that form Hayom, the Kol that was crying out to Adam HaRishon was the call of both Havaya, meaning the Vav Heim of Havaya, and Elokim, the Yud Mem of Elokim, the combination of which forms Hayom. And the response of Adam HaRishon is Vayischave Adam v'ishto mipnei Hashem Elokim. They have busha in front of these two names of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elokim, because they were pogam in these two names. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gets as an answer from Eliyahu HaNavi, that when is the Mashiach coming? Hayom. What does it mean, Hayom? When there'll be a rectification of Hayom, that's when the Mashiach is going to come. And that's the pasuk that Elio quotes from Tehillim, Hayom im bekolo tishmo. The call is the call of Yudke Vavke and Elokim. It's the same call that awakened Adam HaRishon in the Gan, as the pasuk describes it, the call of Hashem Elokim, of those two names that he was pogam in. So when is the Mashiach going to come? When is going to be Hayom im Bekolo Tishmo? When we'll finally listen to that call that comes from both Hashem Elokim, meaning when we finally dedicate ourselves to the call Hashem, an absolute commitment without any rebellion, that's going to undermine and neutralize the pagam in the two names of Hashem, Hashem Elokim. And that's going to be the Hayom im Bekolo Tishmo, the Hayom of Tikkun, of those four letters, of those two Shemos, when we will listen to Hashem, hear the call that's coming out of the Pagima of these two names of Yudkei Vavkei, that's going to be the key to bring the Mashiach. So in a sense, just on a technical level, if I would ask you mechanically, how do we bring about the Mashiach? The answer is we have to create Hayom. Hayom meaning a tikkun in those four letters and the two shemos of Hashem to be metakin the chet of Adam HaRishon, and we'll go back to the situation of Gan Eden, which is kodem l'chet. But how do we bring about the tikkun in these four letters of Hayom? How do we generate Hayom? And the answer is b'kolo tishmo, that we have to listen to the call of Hashem. And the absolute commitment to the call Hashem is the antithesis of the rebellion of Adam HaRishon when he refuses to listen, to obey to the call Hashem. And if you take a look at the Yismach Moshe, he further elaborates on this point, and he says that the Vav Kei, which is now missing from the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, he says that Vav Kei is hinted at the pasuk Visagel Haaretz. Wow, this is mind-boggling. The pasuk says Yismechu Hashamayim Visagel Haaretz, and he says there's a fundamental difference between the Yismechu Hashamayim and the Visagel Haaretz. The first letter of these four words, Yismechu Hashamayim Visagel Haaretz, if you put the notrik in the first Rashi Tevos, you'll get Yud Kei Vav Kei, but there's a fundamental difference. The beginning is Shamayim, and Yismechu HaShamayim means that up in Shamayim, that's the divine sphere, there is absolute clarity, there's Simcha. V'nireh tamid gdulaso shel Hashem, that's Yismechu HaShamayim, that's the Yud Kei. However, Ba'aretz, we need the Vav Kei of Visagel Haaretz, and that we don't have. The Vav Kei is Ne'alam. It's covered over. And that's all a result of a process of man's sins that started again with Adam HaRishon when he was pogam in the Vav Kei. So the Vav Kei now becomes Ne'alam, and we're only left with Yud Kei. So the only clear revelation of God is only Yismechu HaShamayim, but Liyosid Lavo, when there'll be a rectification of the Vav Kei, it'll be for Sagel Haaretz. Then the Simcha that exists now in Shamayim at this present time will now reach the level of Gila, of absolute joy at the revelation and the clarity of God when we have the Vav Kei. And now the name of God is complete. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now all this is going to shed a light on the Chasam Sofer. Okay, now this Chasam Sofer, which is number 22, is a bit complicated. I would like to dedicate myself to try to simplify the Chasam Sofer. Okay, now, let's see how we do this. Okay, just give me a second here. The Chasam Sofer focuses our attention on the word me and on the word ele. Where do these two words show up? Okay? Now again, Mi is Yud Mem. And the first half of God's name, Elohim, is Eleh. Paro makes a declaration in the fifth parak of Shmos, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekola. So that's the word Mi. Mi means, again, if you're a scoffer, who is God? Meaning, God is not on my radar screen. So the Apikorsim, who deny God, Rachman al-Utslan, they say, Mi Hashem. And Paro spells it out. He says, Lo Yadati is Hashem. I don't see Hashem. Now, if you fast forward five prakim to Perek Yud of Sefer Shmos, Hashem is now sending all the makas on Paro, and what's the purpose? Leman shisi osasai ele bekirbi. Ele is the exact opposite of me. Me is the scoffer who says, who is God? I don't see God. You know, I looked around, I didn't find him. You know, they're like the Russian cosmonaut. You know, he went up to the skies, you know, and he says, I look for God, I didn't find him. That's the me philosophy, me Hashem. But Ela means this is what I see. And I see the ososim, the osos. I see the signs of God everywhere. So the Samsofer says the following. He quotes a medrash in the Yalkut that Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. In other words, what he's able to identify from the name Elohim is only the Mi. However, the Ela, Aval Shem Ela Lo Yada. Okay, again, we'll have to see how to weave this into the puzzle. So Hashem responds and he says, Leman Shisi Ososai Ela Bekirbi. So the Medrash seems to indicate that the purpose of the Osos is to give Paro the Ela, to combine the Ela with the Mi. What does this all mean? So the Samsofer interpreting this Medrash says, Hadvarim Omdim Berumo Shel Olam Besod Mi Bara Ela. There's a pasuk that says, Mi Bara Ela. So what is this sod? Again, usually when you say that something is a sod, it means, you know, I can't say anything more than that because it's a sod. But he embellishes this sod and gives us a little bit of a taste of it. He says, Hisnagus Hashem Yisbarach in Yisrael al pi teva. He quotes the Ramban who says that God deals with the Jewish nation al pi teva, and that seems to be a concealed miracle. So the miracles of God are concealed. That's called Hateva. Okay? And then he says, that's called the Bechina of Mi and the Bechina of Ela. Now, if you take Mi and Ela and you combine it, you get Elohim. And he says, Elohim is the same as Hateva. Hateva b'gematria Elohim. I would ask you to work that out for me if you can while I'm reading this Samsofer. Okay. So now, he says that Elohim refers to God Benistar, Benelam. And that's Hateva, which is the same as Elohim. So that's Mi Bara Ela. And he says very often, when we look at it, the universe, what we see on the surface of it is that God is letting the world go on its own. Chas v'shalom. Without any divine supervision or providence. That's called Hateva. And that's the nistar of Mi Bara Ela, of Elohim. And Mi means, I don't see the Ela, I don't see Ela, I see Mi, who is God. All I see is Teva, is nature. However, Kishu Misnaik Benisim in Iflos, when God intervenes to change Teva, like the Eser Makos or Kriyas Yamsu for Chadome, Asher Ayin Ve'Ayin Nirali Ayin Li'Ein Kol Hakol Ki Hashem Omid Mashkiach Olenu, that's considered Ata. Then we can point to Hashem and see God Nochachus Ponim Befonim, as if He's confronting us face to face. So now he says there's something called Tziruf Osios Elokim Mi Ela. When we combine the Mi, which is where is God, so to speak, with Ela, with there is God, he says Ratzalom Mitzad Echad Bechinas Mi Mitzad Sheni. On the other hand, we have the Bechina of Ela, because when we see Hashem and His Hashgacha, His providence is revealed, it's no longer Hateva. He says that's the Bechina of Ata. That's when we can see God. So again, what we want to get out of this Chsam Sofer is the following Chidush, that there is a Bechina of Mi, which is Hashem Benela Benistar, and that's Hateva, but then there's a possibility of Ela. Ela means we can point with the finger and say, Ela Elokecha Yisrael, Heim Darche Hashem Valilosov, and then we see the Bechina of Hashem and His Hashkocha Begilui. Okay, let's get back to the concept of Kol that we were speaking about before. And Adam HaRishon hears the Kol. Okay, this is good. Excellent. Adam HaRishon hears the call. Okay, I just want to know if somebody could tell me that, if somebody could just tell me they hear me.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, great. So we're all on board now, except for Joe had to leave. Okay. So now the pasuk says, right before Matan Torah, Vayehi kol hashofar holech v'chazak ma'od. Holech v'chazak ma'od means the strong, loud, long, stretched out blast of the shofar is called the tkiya. The tkiya is a kol poshut. It's a straight kol. It represents the Ela philosophy, meaning the ability of man to see God. And that revelation took place at Har Sinai with the kol shofar holech v'chazak ma'od. However, our mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah is not fulfilled with the tkiya, the kol shofar holech v'chazak ma'od. That alone is not sufficient. We have to add the shvarim and the trua. Now, the shvarim and the trua represent, as the Gemara points out in Rosh Hashanah, ginuchei ganech and yilulei yalil, which means the sighs and the sobs of a person who is in tzara, in anguish. So we start with the tkiya, which represents the kol chazak, that's clear, that we see God, we see his compassion, we see his providence, and then we get to the shvarim trua. Now, what do these two notes, one called shvarim and trua, symbolically represent? What message do they transmit to us? So we take the word shvarim and we cut it into two pieces. The first piece is a shever, that's a broken piece, and the second is the yud mem. Now that represents, and here we're turning to page 3, the yud mem of the name Elohim. Because if you remember, that man, as a result of his sin, he was pogam in the yud mem. So the shever splits off from the yud mem, and the shvarim now becomes split in two. Now we have the yud mem that's severed from the name Elohim. That's called shvarim. Trua, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim to prove that the tough resh ayin of terah, which is the first half of the word trua, also means shvira. It's to break off, like it says, truam b'shevet barzel. He broke it with a shevet, with a stick that's made of barzel, of iron, and that cuts off the Tav Resh Ayin at the beginning of Truah from the Vav Hey at the end. Because again, we said that Adam HaRishon in his Chet, he was Pogame in the Vav Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Shvarim Truah represents man at his lowest state. But fortunately, man has the ability, if he responds to the Shvarim Truah, to blow a Tekiah afterwards. And that Tekiah is the Kol Poshut. That Kol Poshut represents the Eileh. That represents the reunification of the Vav Kei with Yud Kei in the name Avaya, and the unification of the Yud Mem with the Eileh of Elohim. And the Eileh is that part of the name Elohim that points to Hashem and says, look, divine providence is revealed. All this happens after the Shvira of Shvarim and of Truah with the Kol Poshut of the Tekiah Lachrel. And perhaps that sheds a light on the word Hayom. As we said, when is Mashiach going to come? Hayom. But what is the Hayom? Hayom in Bekolo Tishmo. If we respond in the right way to the Kol Hashem, that Kol Hashem is the Shofar. So if we get to the Shofar and we're broken up by the Shvarim Truah because we realize that we were Pogame and this past year we didn't live up to the expectations and the demands, we weren't as committed as we should have been, then with that response to the Kol Shofar, what we're going to have is Hayom. And the Hayom is that Rosh Hashanah which represents and seals the Mashiach coming, because the Mashiach has become Hayom im b'kolo tishmo. If we commit ourselves to hear the Kol Hashem, that's the Hayom. And that Hayom means the reunification of the Yud Vav of Havaya and the Hey Mem of Elohim. I'm sorry, I messed that up. Of the Yud Hey of Havaya with the of the Vav Hey, I'll get it this right this time, the Vav Hey of Havaya with the Yud Mem of Elohim, creating the Eileh. And that's Hayom. And that's why Atem Nitzavim Hayom is a reference to the ultimate Rosh Hashanah, in which all those who stood Hayom at the time of the Krisas Bris will experience the Hayom of Im B'Kolo Tishmo. And that's why we end our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah with the word Hayom, because we say Atem Advekim Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. Hayom is a reference to this Rosh Hashanah, which Amir Tzashem is the Rosh Hashanah that signed up in Shemayim for the Hayom, the ultimate Hayom, the ultimate Tikkun on the Chet, because we heard the Kol Hashem in B'Kol Tishmo Hayom. That was the Kol that brought about Hayom, Hayom in B'Kol Tishmo. We heard the Kol Shofar, we let it penetrate our souls and to uplift us to the level of a commitment, and that's going to be the Kol Pasha that follows the Shvarim Truah of these thousands of years of Golus, so that we end our Tfilos on Rosh Hashanah with Hayom Tam Tseinu, Hayom Tivarchenu, Hayom Tigadlenu, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. Everything is Hayom. Why such an emphasis on Yom? Hayom, of course, is Rosh Hashanah that we started with, but it's much more than that. It's the Atem Advekim Bashem Elokechem Chaim Kulchem Hayom. It's the ultimate Dveikus, we cleave to Hashem Hayom, because Kolo Tishmo, and it's Hayom Kolo Tishmo. And if it's Hayom Kolo Tishmo, then that's Eliyahu HaNavi's answer to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the Gemara Sanhedrin, that when is Ka'asimar, when is the Mashiach going to come? Hayom, but with one qualification. It's got to be the Hayom of Tehillim, namely the Hayom of Im B'Kolo Tishmo. And the Kolo here is the Kol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei of Hashem Elokim. Again, going back to the Kol of the Gan Eden that we started with, and there the pasuk says, "Vayishmu es Kol Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim." Now it's Hashem Elokim. Why? It's because it's Vayishmu. It's Im B'Kolo Tishmo, and now we have the Ruach Hayom. We messed up on Hayom, but now we're fixing up the Hayom, and that's the Kol Hashem. That's the shofar that awakens us to do tshuva and to commit ourselves to the pasuk of Ki Hu Elokeinu Anachnu Amar Yisrael V'Tzon Yado Hayom Im Bekolo Tishmo. And perhaps this ties in to Akedas Yitzchok, and with this we'll conclude. The pasuk says at the end of Akeda, Vayikra Avram Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yira'eh, meaning Miloshon Yira'eh, Asher Yomar Hayom Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. Notice that first Avram Avinu calls this place by the name of God, that God, Yudkei Vavkei, will be visible. There'll be a clarity of vision. But that's only referring to the Avram of the past. But then the pasuk says, Asher Yomar Hayom. Hayom is referring to today. Today is the Rosh Hashanah of today. Today is the Rosh Hashanah on which it's going to be Hayom. And Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. And that means we're going to be able to go on Aliyah L'Regel. We'll go up from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim. And we'll be able to see the Har Hashem Yira'eh. And on the Har Hashem Yira'eh, the Yira'eh is Miloshon Yira. Because again, the shofar is meant Kolam Yiro, right? The charada of hearing the shofar, the presence of Hashem, the revelation of Hashem, that instills in us Yira. And as a result of hearing the Kol Hashem, we will bring about the day in which the kolo tishmo, that call that we hear in the shofar tishmo with a commitment, and then it'll be hayom. And that's the asher yomar hayom. Yemir Hashem shbizocha hayom tekablenu barachamim, hayom tishma shabaseinu, hayom tegadlenu, and hayom, he should bring about the day of hayom, the hayom in which kasi mar, that the Mashiach Tzidkenu will come. In here of Yamenu, Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.